Welcome to the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Back 9 Report, presented by eDraft.com. We come live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time and check in on the world of golf to bring you the latest news, insights, analysis, interviews. Hey, we cover anything and everything golf. My name is Carlos Torres, and like every week, alongside my co-host Fred Alvader. Fred, we turn 100. This is our 100th show. Wow, how are you today?
You just don't look that old, Carlos.
No, man.
Hey, what a Masters. I cannot wait to talk about it on our 100th show. Isn't that amazing, Carlos? We've been doing this for a little bit over 2 years. And, you know, golf gets back in full swing this week. The PGA Tour slides over to Hilton Head for the RBC Heritage at Harbortown Links. The PGA is in Hawaii. The European Tour is in China for the next 2 weeks. I hope the Chinese government doesn't close any of the golf courses while they're there. And the Champions Tour is back in action in Georgia for the Greater Gwinnett Championship. We've got a lot to talk about, Carlos. We've got some prizes to give away. Let's go.
Let's go. 100 show, and let's start with the weekend backspin. And, hey, what else can we talk about? Jordan Spieth. He won the Masters by 4 shots there from Phil Mickelson and Justin Rose. That the 21-year-old equaled Tiger Woods' 72-hole record of 18 under par. He made also a record 28 birdies during the week, and is the first player since Raymond Floyd, 1976, to lead the event from pillar to post. He's the second youngest winner of the tournament after Tiger in 1997, and his first major title has moved him on to second, all the way up in the official world golf rankings. You know, Justin Rose twice got within 3 shots of him in the front nine, but at the turn, the youngster's lead extended again to 5. That fabulous birdie at 10th gave Spieth a 6-shot advantage over Rose and Mickelson. Mickelson threatened him when Spieth 3-putted for 12 on the 12th for bogey, and Mickelson birdie the 13th to reduce that deficit to 4 strokes. But hey, Spieth, he struck back with a birdie of his own at the par 5 13th. Before Rose and Mickelson moved to 14 under par, that's within 4 again. But hey, he held steady, and a birdie at 15 saw him regain that 5-shot advantage and became the first player ever to reach 19 under at Augusta. And although he dropped a shot at the last, he won with something to spare. We have to mention also that world number one, Rory McIlroy, he failed in his bid to complete the career Grand Slam. But a final round of 66 lifted him into 4th place of his own. He was playing alongside Tiger Woods, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it later, but Tiger ended up the week in a tie for 17th place. He held it together remarkably well after injuring himself in the 9th hole, striking a 3-root in the pine straw while playing his 2nd shot. Other honorable mentions, I have to say, my guy, Hideki Matsuyama, he co-chaired the low final round with Rory McIlroy at 6-under. He finished in solo 5th. Paul Casey and Dustin Johnson and Ian Poulter, they were tied for 6th. Zach Johnson and Hunter Mahan, along with Charlie Hoffman, were tied for 9th. So what a performance. Fred, we're going to be talking a lot about the Masters, but what a performance there by Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, that was really something. You know, Tiger and Phil and Justin Rose and Dustin Hoffman and, Dustin Johnson and Charlie Hoffman, they all kind of played second fiddle to Jordan Spieth. He was the man all week. He announced his presence to mainstream golf fans with that runaway victory. You know, he has 2 wins and 2 runners-up in his last 4 starts, Carlos. He moves, as you mentioned, to number 2 in the world. He's number 1 in the FedEx Cup. He's already at $4.9 million for the year. His Q rating for his endorsement dollars is going through the roof. In 2 years, he's just played in 2 Masters, Carlos. He was runner-up last year. He won this year. He was 5-under last year. He was 18-under, 23-under in 8 rounds at Augusta. I think he kind of likes that golf course. What do you think? You know, Tiger was 21 years and 3 months old, and Jordan was 21 years and 8 months old. So Tiger beating by 5 months as the youngest winner ever. But, you know, just, you know, the lowest round, the lowest three rounds, the lowest four. I mean, he's just, and he was at 19 under, but he made the bogey there at 18 to tie for the record there for the 72. But, you know, pretty impressive performance by 21-year-old Spieth. You know, and also at the Masters, Carlos, that stuck out to me, we had your guy, Sergio, with Tiger there on Saturday. That was a little fun. They didn't show much of him because Sergio wasn't playing very good. You know, Dustin Johnson proved he still needs to work on his short game. I mean, that guy, his chipping is terrible. You know, he needs to go to Tiger and get some lessons because Tiger's got to figure it out. Justin Rose reminded us how he is one of the premier players in the world. He just played steady all week. And maybe the biggest surprise of all was Philly Mick. He proved he can still get it around. So last two majors, he's runner-up at the PGA, and he's runner-up at the Masters. I think Phil's serious about these major things. You know, and Tiger gave us a glimpse of the Tiger of old. Wasn't that fun the other day watching him on the front get going a little bit? Didn't play that well on the back, but that was fun to watch him go a little bit. It was a glorious Masters, Carlos. It never fails it always meets expectations. The beauty, the tradition, the great golf drama. You know, and we anticipate the Masters every year, starting from the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup in September. You know, we start thinking about it. Don't you wish they played more events at Augusta National? You know, the rumor was around the LPGA. Michael Wan asked Billy Payne if they can have an LPGA Tour event there, and Billy Payne turns him down every year. You know, it takes them about a month. They close the course for about a month getting ready for the Masters every year. I suppose the members probably want to play sometime, you know. So I don't think we'll see any other tournaments there in too soon. But, you know, just the fact it's only there once a year and it's so beautiful and so wonderful, it certainly leaves us wanting for more and can't wait for next year.
Can't wait. And, hey, Jordan was so humble. You know, he missed that one on purpose so he wouldn't have the record for
That's probably true.
Yep. That wraps up our weekend backspin, and we're going to move on. We're going to have a lot to talk still about the Masters in the show, especially about Jordan Spieth. But right now is the time that everybody, I know they're waiting for, the huge giveaway that we announced celebrating our 100th show. It's right here, right now. Fred has the names. It's all over the place. We thank you, you know, for being part of this show, for the 100 shows that we've been in. Also, I want to extend a special thanks to our friend and colleague, Kieran Clark, for being a great part of this show every time that he comes in. We love him and have him around, and he's been a great part of it. And, hey, Fred, how about those winners? I know they're waiting, so who are they?
Yeah, Carlos, we had quite a few entries. We really appreciate everyone taking the time to enter. And so we have four shirts from Antigua, and the winner of the four shirts are Pete Drotar, Mike Haley, Randy House, and Sam Gioni. And I will be contacting them. Excuse me, sorry. I will be contacting them I have their email, but I'll need their mailing addresses and we'll talk about size a little bit, and I'll be in touch with them over the next day or so. So also we had three Cork Tree putter grips, compliments of the Cork Tree Putter Grip Company. We appreciate that. And the winners of those are Ken, I'm sorry about this, Ken, but it's MYKIETOWICH, Mike Kiewicz, and Emily Maurer, and Paul Hunt. And I believe Paul is from the UK. So, Paul, appreciate you listening. Yeah, maybe he's over there. Maybe he's one of Kieran's neighbors.
Yep.
we had a dozen Wilson Duo golf balls, and those were won by David Hood. And we also have some recycled golf balls. These are balls that have been reclaimed out of ponds, cleaned up, renovated, fixed up, and they're provided by Absolute Golf Ball, which we had Jim Starr on the show about a month ago. And we have a dozen each going out to, one is to Crystal Welch, Clinton Harkham, Mike Hawkins, Jeff Leslie, Miguel Slowick, David Brierley, and Jeannie DeWitt. So I have the email for all those, and I will be in contact with them, getting their mailing information, and we will drop those in the mail to those individuals, and we appreciate them taking time to listen to the show and sign up for our drawing. Carlos?
Sign up, and there you have it. Continue to join us each and every week. We thank you. You are the reason why we're here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. So, hey, that wraps up our huge giveaway. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get on with the show. We're going to start the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the Par 5 News presented by the United Golf Network. And Fred, you have the tee shot for this. How about it? What are we going to start with the Par 5 News?
Well, we're going to just keep right on talking about the Masters, Carlos. You know, golf is on the upswing. I don't know if people realize it or not. Everybody talks about how bad golf is. Yeah, there are golf courses closing. Yeah, the golf equipment sales are down a little bit. But I'm telling you what. There's new interest in playing golf. I'm seeing it in the junior players, there's more around. I'm seeing the women players, there's more around. And I think men want to come back playing too. Incomes are coming back in the United States, and people want to play a little bit more. But really, one of the key indicators that shows this is that viewership for the Masters for the whole week was up. We're talking up 40% and 50%, Carlos.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. ESPN's live telecast of the Par 3 contest on Wednesday was the most viewed telecast of the event since ESPN began televising it in 2008. Also on Wednesday, the ESPN Sports Center at the Masters special from 5 to 6 p.m. saw a large viewership and ratings jump over last year's telecast. The viewership average was up 83%, okay? From 387,000 last year to 708,000 this year, and we just go on through the whole week. It's, you know, part of that I'm sure came from Tiger Woods' participation in the Par 3 this year for the first time since 2005. Jack Nicklaus made that hole in one, you know, playing alongside Gary Player and Ben Crenshaw. ESPN on their Thursday and Friday coverage. The Friday telecast completed ESPN's 2 days of live Masters coverage, with both days seeing ratings and audience growth of over 2014. The Thursday telecast was ESPN's highest-rated and most viewed first-round coverage in 5 years, 3.2 million viewers. Of the 2 days of Masters telecast, they averaged over 2.2 million. So. ESPN got a really good bump. They also, you know, they also had it on the smartphone and tablet for watching it streaming on your smartphone or your tablet through Watch ESPN, and those reached 201,000 unique viewers that spent 9 million total minutes watching live. And that was up 230%. So that form is going to grow tremendously in the future as more people are watching, you know, on their smart devices. CBS Sports, third round coverage. I haven't seen CBS's Sunday ratings yet, but I'm sure they're up the same. But the Saturday ratings earned an average household metered market rating of 6.5, which was up, I said earlier, 48%. It's amazing that these numbers are coming back with what they're doing. A lot of buzz around the Masters. So hopefully Carlos is a sign that the golf industry has turned the corner and kind of is on the upswing once again.
I surely hope so. And I would have to agree because, you know, this was one of the most anticipated Masters of all time, I would say. You know, everybody, since Tiger announced he's going to be back and Rory going for a career Grand Slam and continuing for the Rory Slam, and now Jordan Spieth, you know, this is, golf is getting right at it. And, hey, we have more information on that coming up. But right now, talking about Rory and talking about Tiger, Rory has been having the best of Tiger on and off the field lately, and let me tell you why. You know, as I mentioned earlier, he was paired with Tiger Woods at the Masters on Sunday. Both tied for 8 at 6 under starting on Sunday morning. This was a pairing that prior to the tournament, I don't know who would have predicted would happen, but, you know, I bet to differ that you said on Sunday Tiger and Rory were there, because especially Rory was being expected to win the final group on Sunday, and Tiger was expected to struggle to even make the cut. So it was great to see them there. Well, Rory ended up sharing with one of my picks, Hideki Matsuyama, the day's low round at 6-under, and finishing in solo fourth. Tiger, he struggled early, and even with an eagle on the 13th, he could only muster one over to finish tie for 17th at 5-under, a deficit of 7 shots there by Rory McIlroy. Hey, not bad for a Tiger, you know, considering what we have seen last of him and what he was able to show on Friday and Saturday. So great for him, but hey, Rory got the best of him. And that was on the field beating from Rory. Now, on the field, a survey of 43 marketers, tournament directors, and media conducted by Sports Business Daily reveals that when it comes to the marketability of professional golfers, Tiger Woods is starting to lag behind a couple of young guns. The trade magazine survey, ESPN's Darren Rowell reports, found that Rory McIlroy and Ricky Fowler both sit ahead of their elder statements Woods, ranking first and second respectively. Phil Mickelson and Jordan Spieth, who else, round out the top five. McIlroy obviously has been an advertiser's darling since he blazed onto the pro golf scene, and his ascension to another top spot, this one in the official World Golf rankings, has made him that much more attractive from a marketing perspective. Winning two majors during a red hot streak last year certainly didn't hurt matters either. The 25-year-old golfer shares many of the same partnerships that Woods enjoys, including Nike, and even supplanted Tiger as the cover athlete on EA Sports golf video game, now entitled Rory McIlroy's PGA Tour. Fowler, meanwhile, he hasn't enjoyed as much success just yet in his golf career as McIlroy. I mean, few have. But the 26-year-old's freewheeling sense of style, whimsical personality, as evidenced by his role on The Golf Boys, and youthful appeal similarly makes him a coveted golfer on the marketing circuit. Fowler, of course, has an endorsement deal with Puma, the supplier of his patented orange outfits on Sundays, as well as Red Bull, for whom Fowler frequently appears in a viral video marketing campaigns, his Dick Fowler PI series, Farmers Insurance, in which he plays as a mustached writer of golf courses, wrongs were universally praised as well. Meanwhile, Woods has saw his marketing appeal nosedive following his infidelity scandal, a humiliating blight on his reputation from which he has never fully recovered. Rubble notes in his report, however, that Woods has recently inked new deals with Indian Motorcycle, Hero Moto Corp, and Muscle Farm, so it's not like the 39-year-old isn't still attractive to advertisers. Further, the affable attitude and genial demeanor that has been on display this past week leading up to the Masters has shown a side of Woods rarely seen, perhaps even making him more desirable to advertisers, or is maybe, as I would say it, or see it as a part of maybe a I don't know, makeover that he might be looking at. If he knows he's going down on the marketing scheme. So anyway, in the end, McIlroy reigns supreme, young superstar, may insist golf isn't a job for Ed, but given his many lucrative endorsements, it's a good gig if you can get it.
Yeah, I'm going to talk more about endorsement money here a little bit later in the show, Carlos. And let's continue with the Masters theme a little bit here still. Broadcaster Jim Nance first uttered a tradition unlike any other in 1986, but it's Augusta National that has filed to trademark it. The iconic club is getting more serious about protecting its intellectual property. The phrase to be used on everything from shirts and pants to dresses, sleepwear, and headwear. Although Nance said the phrase, according to law, he has no claim on it. It turns out that ESPN and CBS televise the Masters, but Augusta National actually owns the broadcast. That means by the transitive property, Augusta National actually owns all Nance's famous phrase. An Augusta National spokesperson told ESPN that the club has claimed rights to the phrase and will eventually own the registered trademark, as the periods in which people or companies can oppose the filing have both passed without issue. An article published on the official Masters website said that Nance came up with the phrase when CBS golf producer Frank Cherkinian brought Nance up to Augusta a month before the 1986 event to shoot network promos. Augusta National is often thought of as the least likely organization to cash in. The club's famous pimento cheese sandwich only costs $1.50 at the concession stand. But an online search of the U.S. patent and trademark site reveals that the club is at least getting more serious about protecting its intellectual property. Aside from filing for the trademark, a tradition unlike any other, Augusta National in the last 5 years has filed trademarks for Berkman's Place, that's the hospitality area along the fifth hole, for the name of the three restaurants inside the property, Calamity Jane's, McKenzie's Pub, and Ike's Place, and additional trademarks for Eisenhower's Tree, Ike's Tree, Green Jacket, Augusta National, and Masters Tournament. You know, in all this, Carlos, I mean, through the years, the Masters and Augusta National has become more and more prominent. But of late, over these last few years, the chairman of Augusta National, Billy Payne, has been right in the center of all of this. And he made his annual address to the media last Wednesday prior to the start of the Masters. And under his leadership, Augusta National and the Masters has made more change than all of the previous five former chairmen combined. You know, the Drive, Chip, and Putt Junior competition. The Masters partners with the USGA and the PGA for that. The Asia Pacific Amateur and the new Latin American Amateur, which awards spots in the field for the Masters for the winner of each tournament. You know, that's just a couple of examples. They're becoming much more involved in the promotion of golf and, in all areas of the golf industry. You know, and the question arises from time to time, do the other members of Augusta National ever question the acts of Chairman Payne? Billy just kind of looked out at the crowd with a sly smile and said, that's not really the way Augusta works. You just don't get many quizzical looks. Not if you're the Augusta National and Masters chairman, and certainly not if you're Billy Payne. You know, what the chairman says at Augusta National is pretty much how things go. Payne became an Augusta National member in 1997. This was his ninth Masters. He was a football player at the University of Georgia. He received a law degree and was the former president of the Atlanta Olympic Organizing Committee. He overtook the role of overseeing Augusta National Media Committee in 2000, and he succeeded to the chairmanship in 2006. You know, it's just about as close to a dictatorship as anything that can be found in the U.S. His word is final. No questions asked. If a member disagrees, they're certainly welcome to leave the club at any time, and don't let the door hit you in the hind end as you go. The addition of women members, as well as all the other initiatives undertaken under Billy Payne's leadership, have been very positive and have Augusta National and the Masters positioned as one of the most respected clubs and tournaments in the world. we applaud his efforts and just can't wait for the 2016 Masters, Carlos.
Can't wait, and definitely a tradition unlike any other.
Exactly. Well said, sir.
Hey, some news now about equality for women in Europe and the turnout there. Let's talk about veteran broadcaster Peter Alice, who has sparked a controversy by claiming that gender equality laws have backfired and boogered up the game. That's what he said, not me. Sorry. Alice, who is 84 years old, has said that legislation designed to stop golf clubs from discriminating against female members has instead prompted a decline in women's membership. Some clubs had previously only allowed female members if they played at restricted times in return for a discounted membership fee. But the Equality Act 2010, drafted by previous Labor government, ruled that this was illegal discrimination, which means that women must now have equal access to the course and pay the same membership rates as men. The Equality Act applies to clubs with mixed memberships. Male-only golf clubs are still legal. Mr. Alice, who's a former professional, who is one of the game's most decorated players, claimed that tens of thousands of members of the Ladies Golf Union have deserted the organization since the rules came into force. His words were, and I quote, "I'm told the Ladies Union, Golf Union, has lost 150,000 members since equality for women came in," Mr. Alice told the Radio Times. "Hundreds of women have left golf clubs because they've gone from paying half fare to full fare. It caused mayhem," and added, "Equality for women, a few people battled a way to get it. They got it, and they have boogered up the game for a lot of people." But Sam Burton, who's the finance director at the Ladies Golf Union, she said that there has been only a decline of 30,000 women since the law came into force, taking membership down to 159,000 by last year. She suggested that possible reasons why golf was not as popular among women included the fact that it was quite an expensive activity and that other sports, such as cycling, have been marketed more successfully at women. Four-time major golf champion Dame Laura Davis said that time rather than financial pressures might be the reason for the falling numbers. However, Tory managing partner Phil Davis said he agreed with Mr. Alice, saying, "This is the consequence of all the legislation. The equality fanatics can't pick and choose. They either want full equality or they don't. If they want full equality, then they are going to have to pay the same price as everybody else." You know, Alice's comments can't come as the 2016 Open Championship will be the last to be broadcast live on the BBC, where he comments before Sky Sports takes over. He admitted that the BBC could not compete with Sky's deep pockets, and many have viewed this as a way to shed some light to it. Reality is that this is a long-term battle that right now doesn't have a right or wrong answer. I see both sides have their points, and even might be valid ones, but they have to step back a bit, Fred, regroup, relaunch their views, not only for the better of a gender, but for the better of the sport, which ultimately is providing for both of them.
Yeah, anything that that doesn't allow for people to become involved in golf, you know, that's not a good thing. That's not what we're all about. So hopefully that maybe he's got a point, maybe he doesn't. I'm not sure. We're not over there to see, but it makes an interesting conversation. Hey, Carlos, the U.S. Open is the next major, as a matter of fact, in June, will be at Chambers Bay in Tacoma, Washington. Believe it or not, it's not being fondly anticipated by some of the local residents and is causing people to lose their homes. A golf tournament's causing people to get sent out, if you can believe that. Dawn Brundage felt embarrassed and then angry when she came home to find an eviction notice stuck to the front door of the house she has rented for about 8 years. It's not like she just moved in or anything. 8 years she's lived there. be out of the house by 5 p.m. April 30th, the notice said. She worried people might suspect she had failed to pay the rent or some illegal activity going on inside, but she knew she hadn't done anything wrong. Her problem is that she lives in one of the many homes that border Chambers Bay Golf Club, the site of the U.S. Open in June. Local real estate owners are offering to rent at high prices, of course, to players, sponsors, officials, and fans. The five-bedroom house Brundage has been renting for just under $2,000 a month is offered online for, wait for it, $38,500 just for the week of the golf tournament, Carlos. Almost $40,000 for 1 week. Brundage Home and her neighbors are both owned by Aziz Karim, who has other houses up for short-term rent and are managed by BCI Properties of Tacoma. We haven't done anything illegal, said BCI Properties owner Don Lesky. They had a lease, and the lease is over. The houses rented by Brundage and Shapana are mere steps away from the main entrance to Chambers Bay Golf Course. The scarcity of hotel rooms near the course, coupled with the fact that 30,000 people a day are expected to attend, have added incentive for property owners to test the short-term rental market. I know why they would do it, Brundage said, the lady that was being evicted. I'm not against people making money, but not by taking advantage of someone else kicking out of their home for 8 years, for goodness sake. Most of the homes being offered are owner-occupied, with owners willing to vacate for tournament week if a renter meets their price. But in some cases, the homes are rentals that are either vacant or occupied by renters who would need to leave, temporarily or permanently. Brundage said Karim told her several times she would not need to leave and was surprised to learn she was now on a month-by-month terms. I would never rent month-by-month. There's too much uncertainty, she said. Brundage has been offered the chance to move back in at the end of June, but Brundage said she was told the rent would be higher because of planned improvements. She's been a single parent for the past year and can't afford a rent increase. She still has two daughters at home and recently put down a deposit on a smaller house. We're just a, you know, it's just a really bad deal. Carlos, as you know, I was out there last October, got a chance to visit Chambers Bay. It's a wonderful, wonderful golf course, beautiful property. It's going to come across well on TV. The tournament's going to be fantastic. But I'm telling you what, I don't want to be any ways near that area. To get back in there, it's all narrow residential streets. And, I mean, you got to wind back through there a ways, okay? The streets are barely big enough to get two cars through. I mean, now you're going to just, you know, they're probably going to clear it of any traffic except for the buses that are going to be shuttling people. And I don't know where they're going to park people. I-5, it's probably, off the I-5, it's probably about, 2 miles or maybe 3 miles back in there. I'm not sure, maybe more than that. But on city streets, and it's just going to be unbelievable. And I-5 through Tacoma, Carlos, I mean, you can come to a dead start, a stop. I mean, a lot of times it more accurately resembles an eight-lane parking lot, okay, in normal times. So when the rush time is going to be to get in and get out of that place, I just don't know how they're going to handle it. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rumbling about the logistics there. Of getting in and getting out of that place. I just can't imagine it, but I'm sure there are a lot of people smarter than me have this all figured out, and good luck to them. But I'm not sure if the USGA is going to be able to bring a tournament like the U.S. Open back to Chambers Bay anytime soon because of logistics of getting in and out of there. And, Carlos, that wraps up the Par 5 news presented by United Golf Network for April 14th. United Golf Network wants every golfer to enjoy the game more and have the opportunity to earn some money while doing it. They offer a top line of golf products, including popular name brands like Nike, Wilson, Greg Norman, Ashworth, TaylorMade, Adidas, and Where to Win. Everything a golfer needs, clubs, balls, bags, shoes, apparel, and accessories, are available through United Golf Network. United Golf Network not only has an excellent product line, it also offers every golf nut the chance to earn commissions on product through their director's program. They provide instant and free access to Global Affinity, which offers discounted travel through Wyndham Endless Vacations. My Golf in U.S. is also a part of the package, which offers discounted golf rounds in 16 states and 3 Canadian provinces. And finally, For Sale by Owner allows you to sell new or used equipment. Visit UnitedGolfNetwork.com today and check out the products, discounts, and their opportunity, Carlos.
And remember, the United Golf Network was created by entrepreneurs to give golfers the opportunity to play golf, make money, and enjoy life. We're going to take a short break. When we come get back, we have our VIG, very important guest of the week, and that is Terry Castro. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to the Back Nine Report presented by eDraft.com. We'll be right back. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our VIG, very important guest of the week, and he's Terry Castro, the screenwriter, director, and producer of the movie The Squeeze, which will be available for download through a Groupon special on Thursday. It will be released to selected theaters Friday and also becomes available for viewing on video on demand. We had him, his wife Ann Archer, who was one of the co-producers, and the film star Jeremy Stumper a couple of weeks ago also on the VIG. So Fred interviewed him prior to this week's great release. So, Fred, tell us a little bit about this interview.
Yeah, Carlos, you know, we had the chance to go out and view the world premiere in Chicago a few weeks back, and we talked to some of the cast then and really enjoyed talking to him. And Terry agreed to come back on the show this week and talk about the opening on Groupon Thursday and in theaters and on VOD for Friday. And so we actually set up the call on Friday. You'll see he talks. We taped this on Friday, so bear that in mind when you're listening to it. But he touches all the high points of the movie and gives us a little bit more information than what we talked about the last time. So yeah, go ahead and run that, Carlos.
It is a pleasure to have a writer, director, producer of a new movie, The Squeeze, with us again today. Terry Castro, I know you've been traveling around the country promoting the new movie. How are things going for you?
Well, Fred.
It is a pleasure to have a writer, director, producer of a new movie, The Squeeze, with us again today. Terry Castro, I know you've been traveling around the country promoting the new movie. How are things going for you?
Well, Fred, they're going terrific. It's actually very exciting to me to watch people watch the movie. You know, we had a really great early success on the first premiere in Chicago, and it's now beginning to roll out, in various premieres, which give us a chance to create awareness and word of mouth in cities and to generate revenue for worthy causes. And actually, we're coming up on a string of these premieres. There's a premiere in Las Vegas at Wynn Las Vegas, where we shot you know the last part of the movie. That's on Sunday, and then there's a premiere in Denver on Monday. And then there's a premiere in Austin, Texas, on Wednesday, which is co-hosted by Ben Crenshaw, playing in his last Masters. And finally, next week on Thursday, it has the release on Groupon, and then it's released in selected theaters and video on demand next Friday, the 17th.
Now, are you scheduled in time to get a nap in there someplace, or?
Well, I'll nap after. You know, I like talking about my movie, because on an artistic basis and a business basis as well. I mean, you know, this is prime time for promoting our wares, so I'm happy to do it. I'll say this: I'll be kind of happy when Saturday the 18th comes.
Yeah, I got a blurb across from ESPN. They had record viewing for the par 3 contest on Wednesday. So interest in golf is on the upswing a little bit.
Yeah, it was yesterday was kind of an interesting day for me, Fred, because you know, Tom Watson shot the lowest
right
for a man his age ever, and he's an investor in the squeeze.
Right.
The partner.
Right.
So I don't think he was worried too much about the squeeze, but I was happy for him. That, you know, Tom's great round 71, held the bunker shot at 10, and Jordan Spieth from Texas, where I'm from. So it was a fun day. It's almost always a fun day at Augusta, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that leads me right into my next question, actually. I mean, you had a very successful career in television with as a sports producer for ABC Sports. You were involved with the production of over 20 major golf championships. So, and I know on top of all that, you are a huge golf fan. And you just mentioned about Spieth and a little bit about Watson. I don't know if you got to see any of the tape or any of the coverage yesterday. What was your impression of the Masters thus far?
Well, they have a huge advantage at the Masters because of Augusta National, and it's the only major championship where we return to the golf course every year, and so there's tremendous memories and thoughts and history on each of those holes and each of those shots. So, I mean, they've really figured it out at the Masters. They just about everything they do is right, and CBS has done a really nice job. I think Jim Nantz is, man, he's such a great gentleman, and he does such a beautiful job hosting the golf, and all their guys are great, and their senior producer, Lance Barrow, really understands the game. But actually, in my days at ABC, Fred, I was a producer and director for 22 years, and in that span, I did 62 major championships.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, pardon me.
No. Well, we had the U.S. Open, what was then the British Open, and
right,
the PGA Championship for all those years, and so I was the lucky guy who got to produce or direct those. So, yeah, it was a great time, but never the Masters.
CBS has had that locked up from pretty much the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I saw a story the other day where NBC turned it down years ago, and CBS was happy to pick it up, and so the Masters just always stayed with them from the beginning. So,
well, the story I heard, I guess there's as many stories as there are storytellers, but you know, Rune Arledge, the legendary Rune Arledge, who was executive producer and president of ABC Sports, and
your predecessor, right? Yeah,
friend. Yeah, it was great. Rune really understood golf and played golf. He was a member of Wingfoot and Deepdale, and also of the RNA in Scotland, and he was a very charming guy. And the Masters people, this would have been back in probably the late 50s or 60s, maybe mid 60s. The people in the Masters said, "Look, you have the U.S. Open, and we don't want the Masters to reside at the same network that also has the U.S. Open." For the obvious reason that we want the Masters to be treated and looked upon and spoken about as the greatest championship in golf. And if you have the U.S. Open in June, there's a conflict there. And so they said to Rune, you have to choose. You have to choose when you choose the Masters or the U.S. Open. And Rune chose the National Championship of American Golf. But anyway, it's kind of a Sophie's choice, wasn't it?
Hey, Jerry, you have to promise me that you'll come back when you get done with the movie stuff. You got to promise you'll come back. We'll just talk some golf and some stories, okay? But
yeah,
let's,
I did an event in Inverness. I did a couple of events in
Right.
Yeah, so there's one quick trivia question in Inverness. It was the site of Jack Nicklaus's first U.S. Open, first
Correct.
Major championship, and he played at the first hole. Do you know what he made on the first hole of his first major championship ever?
I do not.
He made a birdie. knocked it in the fairway. This would be number one at Inverness. Knocked it in the fairway, knocked it up on the green, and made about a 40-footer. And so he birdied the first hole he ever played in a major championship. And I believe when he was at St. Andrews, you know, a few years ago, to play his final round in his final British Open. And, you know, he birdied the 18th hole in his final round as well. So yet another remarkable thing about the remarkable man.
He had a knack for doing that kind of thing, didn't he?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Hey, let's talk about the movie. The Squeeze blends golf, high-stakes gambling, and intrigue. You wrote the screenplay for the movie. You know, where did the idea, where did the story come from, Terry?
Well, Ann and I were, my wife Ann Archer and I were sitting at a dinner with some dear friends, and the fellow was kind of a shy, rather modest guy, didn't really talk too much, and he comes from a small town in Texas, like I come from a small town in Texas, and we said, you know, Keith, his name is Keith Flatt, and we said, Keith, you know, we know you came from this little town, and you played a little golf, tell us a little something about, you know, your early days in golf, and he told us this story. Fred and Ann and I looked at each other and said, "What the hell? That is a movie." And his story—it's pretty authentic to his story, up to the time where Augie gets caught in the squeeze. Keith actually was able to escape it, but that doesn't make the end of a good movie. So, yeah, it was based on actual events. We heard about it, and then of course I did tons of research on the likes of Amarillo Slim and Titanic Thompson and Minnesota Fats and some of these, you know, sort of larger-than-life, almost romanticized figures. They remind me sort of like Bonnie and Clyde. They're real people, you know, and real gamblers, professional gamblers, but they live, you know, sort of under the radar screen and not really in full view of the law.
Well, since we're talking about that part, let's jump ahead here a little bit. You and Ann cast Christopher McDonald, the actor that most people will recognize as Shooter McGavin from the Happy Gilmore movie. You put him in the role of kind of the sleazy gambler, you call him Riverboat, in the movie, and he fits this role perfectly. He does a great job in the movie at this.
Yeah, he sure does, Fred. It was just such a blessing that we got Chris. First of all, he's a fabulous guy. He's an absolute delight to work with. I can tell you he's a writer's best friend. He can take a 25-cent line and make it sound like $100. I think he's one of America's great you know, actors, character actors, what have you. But the role of Riverboat, you know, he takes kind of an arc. I like to, as a writer, I deal in the component parts of storytelling, but the arc of characters, the arc of the narrative. So Riverboat starts as a kind of a pleasant fellow, kind of charming. He's got his girlfriend, Jesse there, and they have a kind of a charm. But you know, he as the story goes, he gets more and more mean and becomes kind of lethal. And so there has to be a lot of colors in the actor who plays that. And I thought Christopher McDonald did sort of a perfect job. And so many things in this movie I was so pleased with. Fred, I can actually tell you it's even better than I imagined it would be.
Cool. Hey, you know, other golf movies, Terry, as you know, have been criticized for maybe not having the most believable athlete in the starring role. And one of your main criteria for this movie was to have a serious golfer fill the main role.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, you know, golfers love movies with golf in them. But, you know, with all due respect, you know, you go all the way back to Fall of the Sun, and you got Glenn Ford playing the role of Ben Hogan. And it's like, you know, and then you with 10 Cup and guys playing in the U.S. Open, and it's Don Johnson and Kevin Costner. And you know, Matt Damon played in what was that Legend of Beggar.
Right.
So you know, they're all fabulous actors, really wonderful actors. But if people know anything about golf, you know, you can tell whether a guy can really play by the way he picks up the club and addresses it. So you know, you just come right out of the story, and then they got to do cuts and edits and stand-ins and, you know, CGI, computer-generated graphics and all that. And it just becomes so phony that it's hard to really get into and take the journey of the trip and enjoy the narrative. So I wrote this story, and I wasn't going to make it. You know, I've been a pretty good player. I've been a single-digit handicapper for about 40 years and, you know, directed, you know, all those major championships, et cetera. I wasn't going to make this movie until or unless I found actors who could really play, but seriously play, and thank God I found Jeremy Sumpter.
Well, Jeremy Sumpter, who plays the main character, Augie, the naive country boy who gets lured into high-stakes gambling by Riverboat, Christopher McDonald, makes his home in California, is a +1 at his home course. In addition, he has 15 years of acting experience. So you ended up with a veteran actor who could really play. And when you mentioned Tom Watson earlier, made a criteria for him coming in as an investor that had to be somebody who could play. When he saw him on film, he jumped right in and says, yeah, you really got something there.
Yeah, that was a funny story. Tom and I were sitting at dinner one night, and he was asking all about the movie and how much does it cost, and you know, how do you raise the money, one thing and another. And I was telling, I was just teasing him. I said, "Why you want to invest?" And he said, "Well, I can't invest in a Hollywood movie with a bunch of actors who are trying to play golf. I need to know these guys can really play." And I said, "Well, I'll get you some video." He said, "Well, all right, send me the video." So I had Jeremy record a driver and a 5-iron and a wedge or something like that, and I sent it to Watson, and he called me early the next morning. He said, "I'm in. That guy can really play." Kind of a fun story.
I can't get away from the character. I got to talk about two more characters real quick. Catherine LaMassa plays Jesse, Riverboat's girlfriend, and you mentioned her. And she just has a quirky role. She brings a great slant to the character and almost steals the show. And fans will maybe recognize her from some appearances on the TV show The Longmire, and I know she's done a lot of other work also along the way. But she does a great job in the movie.
Doesn't she just? It's a masterful performance to take a role that's not the biggest role and have it have such an impact on the story. Really colorful, inventive, unusual, entertaining. I tell you, I used just about every frame of what I shot of her is in the movie because I was so intrigued with her and her performance.
Yeah, and fans, when they watch it, they want to kind of watch what she's doing when she's not the focus of the camera, because she's doing her thing, even though maybe the camera's on somebody else. She's worth a watch. So.
As far as she's concerned, the movie's about her.
Well, I couldn't make a sexist comment, but I won't. Okay.
This is great.
Hey, Michael Murray plays the bad guy, mafia boss living in Vegas, big time high stakes gambler, and he brings the intrigue and the drama into it. Michael's had a really long career, and I think you guys have been around him for some time.
Yeah, he's a really good guy and a terrific friend, Ann and I just love him. He plays Jimmy Diamonds, a notorious mob-connected gambler in Las Vegas, and he just plays it fabulously. He's really menacing and threatening and dangerous, and it's kind of funny. He's a sort of a large guy, Michael, and a very handsome guy, and he's so sweet and so gentle and tender. But like all good actors, you know, and he flips the switch. Wow! And he and Christopher, you know, their relationship, their conflict, their competition with each other, just marvelously acted. And obviously, you have to have that because it's those two that create the squeeze, right? Augie
right.
gets caught in between those two gamblers. So, yeah, that all turned out great.
Let's wrap up with this. You have kind of taken a rather unique path for the release of the movie. Could you tell us a little bit about that? How it's all going to happen? You mentioned it earlier, but lead us through all that's going to happen next week or this week with the release of the film.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that, Fred. It's next week, right? Now, you know, we were smart enough not to release this movie the week of the Masters, right? So next Thursday, the 16th of April, it is going to be offered by Groupon. If you're a Groupon user in selected cities, we're doing a test market of offering the movie, and that's sort of noteworthy because Groupon loves entertainment and loves movies, and they have sold tickets to movies to go to your local theater or DVDs. But for the first time, they're offering a movie to buy a movie as a digital download. And The Squeeze is the first one that happens to. And so that's being offered before. It's the first thing that gets released before theaters next Thursday, the 16th. On next Friday, April 17th, it's released in selected theaters and video on demand. So, you know, if you're not in a city where The Squeeze is in a theater, everybody can get it on video demand, on demand, iTunes and the like. So that all becomes available, I guess, a week from today, right? Next Friday, April 17th. And I hope everybody checks it out and then tells their friends, because I think they'll enjoy the ride.
I think you were telling me something like 70 or 80% of all the movies are now consumed in the home rather than going to a theater. Is that correct?
Yeah, in a recent poll of Americans, when asked where do you consume your movies, 90% said at home and 10% at the theaters. So, yeah, it's so easy to sit at home and download and enjoy a movie they're right at home. And then for people who love the big screen experience and the smell of popcorn or the eating of it, it's just nice that we have both of them. The experience of the outing to go to a movie theater and see it on a big screen and hear the lush sounds of it, or watching it in the comfort of your home. So, two bites at the apple.
Well, again, we want to thank writer, director, and producer Terry Jastrow of the new movie, The Squeeze, that will, as you heard, be coming out Thursday, coming into theaters and video demand on Friday. I advise every golf fan to stock up on popcorn, their favorite cold beverage, and get comfy on the couch and watch The Squeeze. It's a really enjoyable, and we want to wish you a lot of success with it, Terry.
Fred, thank you so much. I always enjoy chatting with you, fella.
Thank you very much, Terry.
There you have it. That was the interview with Terry Jastrow, the screenwriter, director, and producer of The Squeeze. Like you mentioned, it will be available for download in 2 days on a Groupon special, and it will be released to the Electric Theaters Friday, also becoming available on video on demand. So, Fred, the story is about a humble young man with common skills from a small southern town, gets caught up in high stakes golf matches between big-time gamblers, until the game becomes life and death. So we hopefully wish him the very best, definitely, and hopefully it becomes a good success for him.
Yeah, I think golf fans are really going to enjoy the movie. It's a fun movie to watch. It has a little bit of drama to it, got a little bit of everything in it, and they did a nice job with it. So, and besides that, the lead characters can play a little bit of golf, and they do bring some humor in on the golf course. And so, it's not a Caddyshack. It's not a Tin Cup. It's a little different thing, but they did a nice job with it. It's a fun movie to watch. I think fans will enjoy it.
There you have it. That was our VIG very important guest of the week, Terry Jastrow. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we have our practice range, and we're going to talk about Jordan Spieth bringing the Tiger effect. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Don't forget to check out our co-hosts on Twitter by clicking their names in the episode description. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for the practice range. Fred and I will pick a theme, subject, topic every week, take our own shots at it. This week, we're going to talk about who else, the man of the hour, Jordan Spieth, is bringing the Tiger effect. What is this? We're going to talk about his sponsorships, his likability, his competition from now on. Like we mentioned, he's number two in the world right now, won the Masters. Next up, what, number one? Wow, a lot of things. But when Jordan Spieth, he's a 21-year-old from Dallas, dominated the Masters Golf Tournament this weekend. He won the Augusta National Golf Club's Fabled Green Jacket and a $1.8 million pot. But he also struck gold for the company that had covered him head-to-toe with 16 of its logos, Under Armour, the sweat-wicking sportswear firm that its founder started in his grandmother's Georgetown basement. Spieth's record-breaking Masters win has only bolstered Under Armour's reputation for spotting and signing young talent. They also have a contract with ballerina Misty Copeland and has helped turn it into one of the nation's largest sportswear companies. Spieth's earnings over 60 professional golfers Association of America Tour events have climbed to more than 14.2 million already, but he has shared that star power with the Baltimore-based Under Armour, whose revenue soared past $3 billion last year, an all-time high that helped the company outpace Adidas and become the nation's second biggest sportswear seller behind Nike. In 2013, a year when Under Armour's golf business approached $100 million in sales, the company signed a four-year endorsement with Speed, who was then 19, before his first ever professional tournament. But the deal was largely overshadowed when Nike, on the same day, held its global announcement that it had signed star golfer Rory McIlroy. In January, Under Armour doubled down and signed the young golfer to a new deal lasting through 2025. That means that Spieth will wear Under Armour hats, clothes, and shoes for the next decades, and also that Sports Center viewers, his fans, and other golfers will be reminded of the company for years to come. His connection to Under Armour is unavoidable. He had over 16 Under Armour logos on his hat, shirt, pants, belt, shoes, and Sunday. On his way to the clubhouse, he also had Ryan Kuehl, who's the Under Armour Senior Director of Golf. Last year, he made $12.3 million, half of which came off the course from deals with Under Armour, AT&T, Rolex, Titleist, and other sponsors. And now, including his Masters win, he has won nearly $5 million this year. But Under Armour and other sponsors say that considerable publicity has been worth the cash. If you take the words from Kevin Plank, the founder and CEO of Under Armour, he said, "I'm sure that a lot of people watching the Masters a couple of weeks ago said to themselves, hey, look, Under Armour is making golf shirts now." Of course, Jordan Spieth is the winner, and those 16 logos are very noticeable. His sponsorship story closely parallels that of Nike and Tiger Woods, and the company is surely hoping Spieth will post the same Woods effect and help its stuff fly off the shelves. In 1996, Nike signed Woods at 19 to a five-year contract worth $40 million. As his majors win snowballed, Nike extended the deal's 5 years in a row, $100 million contract in 2001, longer contracts in 2006 and 2013. And over the past two decades, Woods made Nike Golf's division into a powerhouse, and in doing so, became one of the highest-paid golfers in history. He's now 39 and has seen his play suffer in recent years, and he, you know, is maybe on the downside in marketability. Spieth is definitely Fred on the upside, and like you mentioned, you know, those Under Armour execs really are looking good right now for that deal that they made and they doubled down in January.
Yeah, that looks pretty smart in hindsight right now, but. You know, Carlos, they make those Masters jackets green for a reason. Every talking head has proclaimed Jordan Spieth the next coming of Tiger Woods. You know, and although he has had quite a successful 2.5 years on the PGA Tour, I'm not quite ready to anoint him the chosen one just yet. You know, 2013 was indeed magical. You know, it's been documented how he started with zero status, earned enough during the Florida swing to earn exemption. Then he won the John Deere later in the year, became a captain's pick for the President's Cup team. You know, I mean, that's certainly stuff that movies are made out of. Maybe Terry Jasko can run a movie out of that. You know, and although he didn't win on tour in 2014, he was one of the most consistent performers with two runners-up, eight top tens, and earned over $4.3 million, finishing number 15 in the FedEx Cup. With the nearly $5 million he's won so far this year, his total earnings, as you mentioned, are just a little bit over $14 million. You know, and these are truly phenomenal numbers, but he's really all about the winning. If he wins another major this year, you know, and, you know, he's a little bit familiar with the course out there in the Chambers Bay, so, but if he wins another one, oh my goodness, it's just going to skyrocket. But in his 68 PGA Tour starts, Carlos, he has 24 top 10 finishes. That's nearly 35%. So, you know, every three tournaments he's finishing in the top 10. you know, he's already picked up some of Tiger's old sponsors, AT&T, to name just one, and I know there's more just waiting in the wing. And as you mentioned, the Under Armour people are just looking pretty smart, and they just signed that. They tore up the 2 years on the old contract that they gave him when he was just a 19-year-old coming out of college and made this new 10-year deal. You know, he is handsome. He's likable. He's humble. He plays with aggression like Arnie. And he has that Texas swagger, kind of like John Wayne. You know, he's just, you know, he's a camera's best friend. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday who's in the marketing business and knows what endorsement deals are worth for something like this. And he said north of $20 million that this is going to be worth just this one win. Yeah, he won $1.8 million in prize money, you know, and he's got his incentive clauses with Under Armour and his other sponsors now. But in additional deals, he's gonna total out. He's going to max out $20 million just from this one win. You know, Rory McIlroy had been replacing Phil and Tiger for kind of the lion's share of some of this off-course marketing dollars. But that's all going to change now with young Mr. Spieth entering into the equation. He's only 21. He's already among golf's most popular players. Uncommon maturity. You know, as we mentioned earlier, he's up to number two in the world already. He's going to be knocking. You know, Rory better not look over his shoulder because Jordan is right there. He was already inside the top 50 on Golf Digest's top 50 list with over $10 million in annual earnings before. You know, he's got Under Armour, he's got Rolex, he's got NetJets, Titleist, and now AT&T. And I'm sure there'll be two or three or four more added onto that before the year's over. Ron Surek reporting Golf Digest and calls Spieth a $25 million man. And this Masters win will probably propel him from his number 16th to the fifth spot on the annual Golf Digest 50 all-encompassing money list next year. You know, some of the industry people said, you know, he's a corporate spokesman's dream. He's got presence about him. He's a great public speaker. He can go into a room and sit with a CEO who's three times his age or sit in a media scrum for 25 minutes and handle everything with presence, poise, and maturity. He can go play a pro-am with a bunch of 60-year-olds and connect. But he can also go talk to the kids. So, you know, he's a man for all seasons. Spieth said, I really enjoyed being on this journey with Under Armour since turning professional, and I can't wait to accomplish great things together in the next phase of my career. You know, it's just, Carlos, I predict that he's going to join the $50 million annual endorsement club very quickly. You know, the golf is not only competed on the course, Carlos. The top guys also compete for these endorsement dollars because they make way more in endorsement dollars over their career than they ever make on the golf course. And so his only competition right now is Rory, really, because Tiger and Phil are, you know, they're kind of falling down a little bit. Rory has the misfortune of being from Europe or from Ireland. Both are photogenic. Both are very likable. But I think Mr. Spieth is going to rapidly surpass Rory in the off-course income category. You know, he's a homegrown American. Fortune 500 companies, and more importantly, American consumers like that. So I see nothing but big things coming for Mr. Spieth. I think he will continue to win. I think he's a great golfer. He's on one of the great hot streaks of all time. Can't wait to see him play at Chambers Bay and at St. Andrews and later at the PGA Championship later in the year.
One other thing also that I would like to mention and add to this is that, you know, his win could really be great for the golf industry as a whole, which really have suffered as young players tend to stay away from the greens in droves. Some have said, you know, the sport needs a new Woods, a young, dynamic, fun-to-watch player who persuades others to pick up a club. It's really needed. And Spieth, alongside such stars, Rory McIlroy, like you said, and maybe Ricky Fowler, could give the sport some much-needed buzz. especially down the line, we start to see some Sunday pairings between McIlroy and Spieth, who are right now number one and number two in the world, and definitely the two top young players. So mark it all down. I know that all this attention won't change him a bit. He will remain humble, polite, and generous with his time for both the fans and news media. You know, that babyface look, down-to-earth demeanor, and clean-cut image. One thing that I read about him is that he volunteers at a special needs school attended by his 14-year-old sister, who was born with a neurological disorder. Juan serves him as his inspiration. And he has told ESPN interviewers that it was an honor to play this magical hole at the greatest stage in golf. That certainly is helping his brand appeal as well. Most of his family, as you all saw, was behind the 18th green when he wrapped up his win. He still lives just 10 minutes away in Dallas, away from his parents. Still goes over there to do his laundry. That's who Jordan Spieth still is. He has moved up the list of attracted celebrity sponsors, but companies will watch for two possible pitfalls. You know, and that definitely have to be, if he fails to consistently win more big tournaments, his name recognition could dwindle. I don't think it'll happen, but that's something that everybody will be watching from now on. He's not going to go under the radar anymore. Such fate could also befall him if he gets embroiled in any bad boy antics. I don't think any of that will happen. That's what the experts are predicting that they're going to be watching us. Definitely golf needs him, more people like him, but he still, I have to say, like you just said about him, he's still ways away from an icon status, but he's really underway, and I look forward to seeing him in the U.S. Open, seeing Rory McIlroy there as well, and what's going to happen in the future between these two youngsters, Fred.
Oh, absolutely, and I think you can still throw Ricky Fowler in there because I still think there's some good things coming for Fowler. I know he hasn't lived up to all his hype yet, but you know he's awfully close. He's right there. He's knocking on the door. But McIlroy and Spieth are really attractive packaging, and you know to go at each other. They're the right age, and you know just they both have really good personalities. And I really like what you said about Spieth bringing a younger audience to the golf course. That can all be nothing but good. You know, that's all good with that. So I'm really happy for the kid, and I'm really impressed with him. I knew he was going to be pretty good. I mean, he just was such a great junior player. But to really arrive at this high of a level this early in his career – there's only one other guy, Carlos, that has really done that, you know, and that guy wears the red shirt on Sunday. So he's up there with some pretty lofty company.
Oh, he is, definitely, and his incredible Masters victory for Spieth on Sunday not only announced his arrival as the golf's newest youngin, but it's also highlighted that bitter rivalry between Under Armour and Nike, and definitely that win equals nightmare. For Nike. So we'll see what happens from now on. So any final thoughts before we move on to our final press this week?
No, I think we covered that. Like I say, though, as well as watching these guys compete on the golf course, they're also competing for off-course dollars. Yes, there are more and more dollars being thrown at these guys because they are very marketable, very photogenic, very good on television. But there's still only limited dollars, and they're all fighting for their piece of it. So that's as interesting to watch to me as the golf sometimes.
At the end of the day, we're going to be the winners because we're going to be the ones watching how it all dwindles down. That wraps up the practice range. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Fred and I have some final putts before we leave today. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening. We'll be right back. In the meantime, don't forget to visit www.edraft.com for analysis, breaking news, and more. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at edraftsports and on Facebook at facebook.com/edraftsports. Now, back to the show.
And we're back, and now it's time for our final pots. Fred and I will give you some final news pieces that we still have for you. So I'm going to start right away. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bubba Watson. More Masters. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. As the current Masters champion, for last year's champion, he got to choose the menu for the annual champion dinner. You know, and this year he served grilled chicken with mac and cheese, just like he did in 2013, the last time he picked the menu. He shared that menu that he chose for his green jacket peers at his friends' conference on Tuesday, and their menu read Caesar salad, grilled chicken breast, green beans, mashed potatoes, corn, macaroni and cheese, and cornbread. Sign me up, man. The dessert was confetti cake and vanilla ice cream. Oh, my God. I would have loved it. You know, that Watson enjoys comfort food should be no surprise, since he famously celebrated his Masters wins last year with a late-night visit to one of my favorite places, Waffle House. You know, the annual dinner for former champions is always on Tuesday night in the Augusta National Clubhouse before the Masters Tournament. That tradition began in 1952 Masters when 1951 champion Ben Hogan hosted a dinner for previous winners. I can't wait to see what Jordan Spieth brings, but maybe him bring from Dallas, Texas. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some briskets or some barbecue, some steaks or something like that. I can't wait for next year to see what the menu is going to be. And the other piece of article that I had, you know, I mentioned earlier on the Par 5 News presented by United Golf Network that Rory McIlroy is now the face and name of the EA Sports PGA Tour game. Well, according to a statement from EA Sports, the upcoming EA Sports Rory McIlroy PGA Tour game will not feature a major golf course. Apparently, EA will not, oh, this is sacrilegious what I'm going to say. They're not going to be including Augusta National Golf Club. I'm not going to buy it. Forget about it. You know, the Georgia course that is the home of the Masters Tournament, right now we saw that they're not going to be there. It's due to an expired license. EA mentioned that it is still looking for a way to add the course into the game as a post-launch downloadable content. Their message read as follows. Our license with Augusta National has expired, and it does not currently appear in EA Sports Rory McIlroy PGA Tour. However, we will continue to examine opportunities to include this world-class course in the game. You better do it. Whether or not Rory McIlroy PGA Tour will actually have the Augusta National Golf Club when it releases on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One remains to be seen, but it doesn't look promising. Now I ask you, will you be disappointed not to play on this course, at least on a fantasy play?
I would want to play Augusta National anywhere, anytime, Carlos. Hey, did anybody else besides? Let me say this first of all, okay? I'm a Ben Crenshaw fan. I've watched him here at Inverness when he's been in town, clear back when the Open was here. I saw him play in the U.S. Senior Open in 2011 when it was here. And I saw him down in Mississippi when I was down there last year. He's a wonderful gentleman, a great guy. But does anybody think that CBS and the Masters maybe went just a little bit overboard in celebrating his final Masters, on Friday there on the coverage? And then now Golf Channel aired their program on him the last night. So, and I didn't get to see it. I got it on DVR. I'll have to watch it sometime. But man, it's all about Ben here this last week. So, hey, Carlos, I got a blurb across from the European Tour. Porsche, you know, like the car, there is no substitute. And I put this in just because I like to say that. Porsche, there is no substitute, has been announced as the title sponsor of the European Open, which takes place at the golf resort Bad Griesbach in Germany from September 24th to 27th. It is Porsche's first title sponsorship in professional golf, with a luxury car manufacturer agreeing with promoter to sponsor the 2 million euro tournament, which returns to the race to Dubai for the first time in 6 years. It will be known as the Porsche European Open. There is no substitute, Carlos. something that slipped through the cracks last week at Augusta was the 40th anniversary of the breaking of the color barrier at the Masters, when Lee Elder became the first person of color to earn a spot in the annual major championship. He was given a celebration by the city of Augusta, which the chairman of Augusta National, Billy Payne, congratulated Elder on, but the club's policy was only to recognize the past achievements of former winners of the tournament. Oh, well, they still can do something in 10 years, maybe at the 50th commemoration, but will that be too late for Lee? We don't know. But kind of surprising they didn't do something, you know, a little surprising. One last thing here for you this evening, Carlos. The friend of the Back Nine Report, Ron Green Jr., his father, Ron Green, has been an award-winning sports writer for the Charlotte Observer for over 60 years. And he did not attend the Masters last week for the first time in that span. So while Dan Jenkins is still writing pieces from Augusta National Press Room, Ron Green Sr. decided to stay home and watch it from the confines of his couch. So congratulations to him. Ron Green has had a tremendous, tremendous career. I saw some pictures of Dan Jenkins from the press room on social media. He is quite a character. Also, I've heard him speak at the Golf Writers in different places, and he is quite a guy. But these older gentlemen that have been Golf Writers and go on to the Masters for years, I'm very envious of them. So, Carlos, that's everything I have for this week, unless you have something else, sir.
No, that'll be all. I just want to, 2 years ago, April 9th, was our first show. It's just a little over a year. We have already achieved 100 shows. It's really been a pleasure to be here every Tuesday. I mean, we talked about this before, and when either one of us is not going to be on the show, it's like we're like trying to get him to see or hear about the show, or there's something missing when we're not on the show on Tuesdays. And I really want to thank every one of the VIGs that have been with us. They're very good friends of the show, like Craig Kahn, that's been with us, Steve Molina. We've had a great VIGs. Also, like I said at the beginning, Kieran Clark, our eDraft.com colleague and very good friend, who fills in for us when we're not in and comes in when we have special shows. I really want to thank him and all the VIGs, everybody that's been part of it. And thank you for, choosing me to be your partner here, and really enjoy this. And hopefully we can do 100 more. Thank you to everybody for being part of the show. Every week we give you the best of us, our best knowledge, and try for you to enjoy it. And really want to thank everybody for making this past 100 shows possible.
Absolutely, Carlos. I second those emotions, certainly. And I want to thank, too, Kieran. He adds so much to the show when he comes on. And we would love to have him more, but for him to come on, he has to be up in the middle of the night. It's 5 hours earlier there for him, so we don't want to impose on his time more than we need to, but he brings a lot to the show. We really enjoy it. And like you said, we've just been blessed with so many guests that have come on and give us great information and insight into different parts of golf. And Carlos, that's going to continue. We're working with the LPGA. We're going to have some more on-site coverage from tournaments as we go through the summer. Jeff Minor is going to be our man inside the ropes at some of those. And also, there's a little thing down in Columbus next week. Jack Nicklaus and Nick Faldo are going to be there, and I'm going to go down and see if I can maybe get some interviews with them, some little short pieces for the show for maybe a couple weeks down the road here. So, we just keep trying to make the show better, and as you know, we just enjoy doing it. We love doing it and look forward to it every week. So thanks to everyone from me also, Carlos.
Well, Back Niners, that wraps up the 100th show of the Back Nine Report, presented by eDraft.com. It's always our pleasure to bring you the latest on the world of golf. Thank you for listening to us for the past hour. Special thanks to our VIG, very important guest of the week, Terry Chester, the screenwriter, director, and producer of The Squeeze. We wish him the very best with the Squeeze, the movie. Best of success to it. Don't forget to join us again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. And also, tune in or download our show on iTunes. If you haven't done so, follow the show. Our Twitter ID is at Back9Report with the number 9 in the middle. My name is Carlos Torres, along with Fred Alvader. We wish you to be happy, be blessed, and enjoy the great game of golf. Happy golfing, everybody.
Good night, everybody.